The Word of God says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, and raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." And God, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you so much for your beautiful word. Thank you so much for reminding us in your word that this earth is, it's not the end for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Rather, it's simply the beginning. What is next for believers in Christ is that great inheritance that you have promised them through Jesus Christ, through what your Son has done on the cross. Thank you so much for the fact that we can sing truths like we just sang a few moments ago, that Christ is mine forevermore, that nothing or no one can take away the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, because of Christ Jesus. Nothing or no one can take away that great inheritance that we have that is waiting on us, God. So, Father, I just ask and pray that you would just bless us right now as we open up your word and see what your word has to say to us today about how we should live in light of this future inheritance that is waiting on us in the heavens because of Christ. So, God, where we need to be challenged today in our life, would you speak to that? Father, where we need to be comforted, would you speak to that, Lord? Lord, for those in this place who are worried, who are watching online, who are concerned about things going on in their life, Father, would you remind them that if you can hold our future inheritance in the palm of your hands, if you can handle, Father, our salvation, if you can handle a way for us to be forgiven of our sin, which you foreordained through Jesus Christ, and you can handle whatever issues we are facing today and tomorrow, God, you are in control. God, thank you so much for your word that never returns void. Would you speak to us? Would you speak through me right now? Would you hide, Father, me behind the word, behind the cross, and would Christ be magnified and glorified? We love you, God. We love you. We love you. We love you. We give this time to you. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated. Children's Church, 4 years old all the way through second grade. You guys are dismissed at this time to head on out of here. Children's Church. Imagine a family member coming to you and saying, "I want you to know that there is an inheritance that is available for you, and this inheritance is worth $1 billion. But they said it like this: it's somewhat available for you, but there is a 50-50 chance that you would receive this inheritance of $1 billion. Hearing that and knowing that there is an inheritance out there that's possible for you, but also hearing that there's a 50-50 chance that you might receive that inheritance, how would that cause you to live? How would that cause you to feel? Would that make you feel anxious about your life? Would that make you wonder about your life, wonder about the possibilities of what could be, the things that you could accomplish, the things that you could do, the people that you could possibly help? Would that make you worry about your future? Wondering, am I going to receive this inheritance that might be available for me? Would that cause you to be unsure about the future? Knowing that this inheritance is a possibility for you, would you go and just live your life right now and go and spend all that you have right now hoping on the fact and banking on the fact that you might possibly receive this inheritance of $1 billion? Or would you be more conservative with your life? Did you know that if you are in Christ Jesus, that you have a for sure inheritance? Nothing can take away that inheritance. No one can take away that inheritance. There is not a 50-50 chance of you maybe one day receiving that inheritance. That inheritance for you is guaranteed. It is for sure. It's yours. It's waiting on you for you to enter into one day in the heavens because of what Jesus Christ has done. By way of reminder, Peter is writing this letter to a group of people who are suffering. They're suffering because of their faith, because of the fact that they have placed their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. These are people who are being possibly persecuted, people whom are losing their lives because of their faith in Christ. These are people who are being discriminated against because of their faith in Christ. These are people who are not being socially accepted because they have taken on the name Christian, because they are following Christ alone and not the culture that is around them. These are people who were the outcasts of society. These are people who are being detested because of their faith in Christ. Essentially, these are people who are going through a tough time. They're going through a rough time simply because they are following Jesus Christ alone. And if you go back and you start at the beginning of this book, and you really look at verses 3 through 12, what Peter is reminding these believers of, he is giving them assurance that even though you are facing what you are facing on this planet, even though you are going through what you are going through on this planet, he was writing to remind them that no matter what happened to them, that their inheritance was for sure. That even if they were to die because of their faith in Christ, their inheritance cannot be taken away from them. He says to them in verse 4 there, he says, the inheritance that is waiting on you is an inheritance that is imperishable. It's not going away, he says. It is an inheritance that is undefiled. It is an inheritance that is unfading. And he says, it is kept in heaven for you. God is holding your inheritance, waiting on you to receive it. It's not going away. So he writes this to assure them, and it should assure us today, church family, because you and I, because of what Christ has done, and if you are in Christ today, you are promised this exact same inheritance. That no matter what happens on this planet in your life, no matter what you face, you too are guaranteed this inheritance, an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled, that is unfading, that is kept in heaven for you. Therefore, knowing that we have this great salvation that is waiting on us, eternal life, the beauties of heaven, the promises of heaven, the hope of heaven, knowing that we have this waiting on us because of what Christ has done, how then should we live our lives? And that's what Peter is talking about today. Because of this inheritance, how then should we respond? How should we live our lives on a daily basis? And you can write this down. This is how you live your life in light of your future inheritance. And you can write this down. Set my hope, set your hope fully on the grace of Christ, soon to be revealed by his coming. Set my hope fully on that and nothing else, Peter says. Again, look at verse 13. He says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, he says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And anytime you see that word, therefore, in the Bible, it's always pointing back to something. Peter says, therefore, again, because of your future inheritance, therefore, because of his great mercy that Peter talks about in verses 3 through 12, because he has caused you to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, because he has given you an inheritance that is imperishable, that is undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you. He says, because of all of that, because of all that has been promised to you, because of all that has been given to you, he says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What does this mean? It means this, as you live your life, as Peter is saying to them, in the midst of your difficulties, in the midst of your persecution, in the midst of all that you are facing, what Peter is saying is this, because of the inheritance that you know that is waiting on you, what he means is this, look to Christ. Look to the return of Christ. Set your hope on the return of Christ. He says, live for that moment when you come face to face with Christ. He says to them, live your life in light of eternity. Live in light of Christ's future rule. Live in light of Christ's future reign. Peter says to them, he says, set your hope on these things that will for sure come to pass. Why? Because the earth that you are living in, it is fading. The earth that you are living in, it is fleeting. It's one day it will be no more. Therefore, Peter says, don't focus on what you are facing right now. Don't focus on this moment. No, focus on eternity. Set your hope fully on that and not the issues that you are dealing with today. And then he tells them, how can you do that? Here's how, and you can write this down. By preparing your mind for action. This is how you can live in light of eternity, by preparing your mind for action. Another way of saying this is binding up the loins of your mind. Commentators say that this describes the act of tucking up a long robe into a belt, allowing the legs more freedom of movement. Now, we would say it like this in our language today. It means this. It means as you're living your life and you know that your life should be focused on Christ alone as you are going through the things of this earth, the trials of this earth, we would say it like this today. Roll up your shirt sleeves. Roll up your shirt sleeves and get ready for some work. Get ready for some work, focusing your life on Christ and Christ alone. It literally means this, by preparing your mind for action is a mental resolve to live for Christ in the midst of suffering, in the midst of every single day life, in the midst of the daily drudges of all that goes on in our life. It is a mental resolve to live for Christ in all that we do. Again, it's the idea of rolling up the shirt sleeves and having this mental resolve that I am going to live for Christ and I am going to live for Christ alone. He says that you can do these things, that you can prepare for eternity by preparing your mind for action, having a mental resolve to live for Christ in the midst of suffering. And how were they to do this? How were they to prepare their mind for action? You can write this down, by being sober-minded. Peter says, by being sober-minded. What is this? Well, a sober mind is a focused mind. A sober mind is a mind that's focused on Christ. A mind that's focused on Christ and his return and his future rule and reign and his grace to be revealed and not your situation. Do you see how all this is playing out? It's a mind that is resolve to live for Christ, a mind that is focused on Christ, to live for him and to live for him alone, rolling up your shirt sleeves and saying, I am going to live for him no matter what comes my way. I'm not going to be distracted by the temptations of the world. My sleeves are up and I am focusing on Christ. I am having a mental resolve to focus on him only. One commentator says, Peter wishes his readers to avoid any form of mental or spiritual intoxication that would confuse the reality that Christ has revealed and deflect them from a life steadfastly fixed on the grace of Christ. Self-control of the mind facilitates prayer and awareness of the devil's ways. In other words, Peter instructs his readers to set their hope on the grace that will be theirs when Jesus returns by being able to fully think and act on the basis of their true nature in Christ, despite whatever hostility such a lifestyle might provoke from their society. And this applies to you and I today. Maybe today you're going through a difficult time, or you've had a rough few days, or a rough season of life, or maybe today you're wondering how this situation in your life is going to play out, or you're wondering and you're concerned about, you know, the way of our culture, and you're concerned about the way of our country. You're really burdened about this upcoming election, or you're wondering about how 2020 is going to play out, and with all this COVID-19 stuff that's going on, you're just really concerned about life right now. And rightfully so. There's a lot going on. You have a lot that you're facing. You have a lot that you are dealing with. And this applies to you and I today in so many areas of our lives. You see, as we are wondering about the future and as we are living our lives, this text, it calls us that no matter what we face, no matter what is on the horizon for us, this text, it calls you and I to set our hope fully on the grace of Christ, soon to be revealed by His coming. Not to set our hope on what happens in November. Not to set our hope on whether or not there is a vaccine that works. Not to set our hope on our bank account or a family member or our jobs. And those are good things that we need in our lives. But ultimately, to set our hope in Christ no matter what we face. That's what Peter is saying today. Again, you and I, we have this inheritance. Therefore, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry about. If God can hold your eternity in the palm of His hand, listen, He can handle what you are facing today. He can handle what's on your mind today. He can handle what's on your heart today. You have an inheritance that is waiting on you. If you're in Christ, you have been lavished with this great mercy. He has caused you to be born again through the hope of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This inheritance that is waiting on you, it is imperishable and undefiled and unfading. It's kept in heaven for you. Again, this means for you and I to look to the return of Christ, to live for that moment when you and I come face to face with Christ, to live our lives in light of eternity, to live in light of Christ's future rule and reign. How? Again, this applies to you and I by preparing our minds for action. By taking our shirt sleeves, our spiritual shirt sleeves, and saying, I'm rolling these up. And I'm going to face it head on because I know that Christ is with me. I'm rolling up my shirt sleeves. And I'm going to face it head on because I know that Christ is for me. If He can handle my eternity, He can handle this. He can handle what I'm facing. I have a mental resolve to live for Christ today, and I am going to focus my mind on Christ. I'm going to have a sober mind that is focused on Christ and His return and His future rule and reign, and I am not going to focus on my situation. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world. Again, don't focus on this world. Don't focus on the things that you're facing, the things that you're dealing with. He says, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Paul also says in Colossians 3, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Why? Because the things that are on this earth are just here for a moment. They're temporary, they're fleeting, they are not eternal. Therefore, set your minds on things that are above. Why? Because what is in heaven, it lasts. And it lasts for all of eternity. So how can you and I live in light of the future inheritance? We should set our hope fully on the grace of Christ by preparing our mind for action and by being sober-minded. Next, how can we live in light of a future inheritance? You can write this down. We should live in holiness. Live in holiness. Again, look at verses 14 through 16. Peter goes on to say, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And what Peter here is saying to these readers and these people, again, we're living in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. And he is saying to them, he says, you know, live like Christ. Do not be conformed to the passions of your past. Do not live like the pagan nations that are around you. He said, you see, the people of God, they were called to be distinct from every other nation on the planet. And he says that this is how that you can live in holiness. And you can write this down by not being conformed to the passions of your past. By not focusing on the things that were in your past. What is this? These are the sins of the past. These are, you know, it's one's life before Christ. And he's saying to them, you can live in holiness by not being conformed to that which you were dealing with in your old life. That which you were focused on in your old life. And this is also how they could live in holiness. And you can write this down by modeling your life after God himself. Peter says to them, in all your conduct, in all of your ways, in all that you are doing, model your life after God himself. Peter says, as God is holy, you too live like him. Live like your heavenly Father. You too be holy. Again, the people of God, they were called to be distinct. The people of God were called to live differently. I love this old hymn, take time to be holy. The words of this old hymn say, take time to be holy, speak oft with thy Lord, abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak, forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be, thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide and run not before him whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow the Lord. And looking to Jesus, still trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by his spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shalt be fitted for service above. And as Peter says to these readers, you are to be distinct from all of the nations and all of the cultures that are around you. This text, it calls you and I to do the exact same thing. Believers in Christ, followers in Christ, as you and I have been promised this great inheritance, as followers of Christ, those who name the name Christian, who receive the name Christian because of what Christ has done in us, you and I, we are called to live lives that are distinct. You and I, we are called to live lives of holiness. How do we do this? By not being conformed to the passions of our past. What does this mean? This means the sins of our past. And it could also be things that are tempting us today. But you remember that life before Christ and those sins that you were so tempted with, those sins that you so easily would fall into and give into. And I have those things in my life as well. And what Peter is saying is leave those things in the past. Don't flirt with those sins. Don't look back to that old way of life. What is before you is so much better. What you have waiting on you is so much greater. It is so much better. Don't flirt with the sins of your past. But what does this mean for you and I? This means that as followers of Christ who are called to be different, who were called to live distinct lives, this calls you and I to fight against sin. Every single day of our lives, where we're going to be tempted to give in to these sins of the past or to give in to temptations that we are dealing with today, this calls you and I to fight against sin. This also means that you and I are called to take drastic measures against sin. Remember what Jesus said. Jesus says, if your eye, if it causes you to sin, he says, poke it out. If your hand causes you to sin, then cut it off. If your leg causes you to sin, then cut it off. Now, did Jesus really mean that? No, because we would all be blind. We would all have, you know, nubs for arms and nubs for legs. We would have cut those things off a long time ago. But what does he mean? He means to take drastic measures against your sin. If your phone causes you to sin, then go and get a flip phone. If your TV causes you to sin, then cut the cable and just get bunny ears. Take drastic measures against sin. That's what Jesus says. That's what Peter is saying. A prayer that I pray every single day is this. God, conform me to the image of Jesus. Because in my own flesh, I can't do this. I can't do what Peter's talking about. The only way that I can walk in a life that is walking in righteousness and holiness unto God, it's only through Christ in me. And the only way that you can do it as well is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So a prayer that I pray every single day is this: God, would you conform me to the image of Jesus? I know, God, that I'm going to be tempted with this today. I know that I'm facing this temptation. I have the desires for this at times. God, would you do whatever it takes to conform me to the image of your Son? I can't do it on my own. I can't be holy on my own. God, I need you. This applies to you and I. How can we live in holiness by not being conformed to the passions of our past? God, conform me to the image of Jesus. This applies to you and I by modeling our lives after God. Peter says in this text, he says, in all of your conduct, not just a few parts of our lives, but Peter says, in all of your conduct, model your life after God in the way that you think, in the things that you say, in your motives, in your actions, in your intentions, by the way that you speak to others about what's going on in society and in the world, in all of our conduct. We are to model our lives after God. As God is holy, we are called to be holy. The people of God are called to live differently. How can we model our lives after God? As Peter quotes that great scripture from the Old Testament, be holy as God is holy. Well, we model our lives after God by simply getting into the book every single day and reading about our Savior and reading about his life and how he lived his life and how he conducted his life on this earth and reading about the heart of God and the heart of our Father and reading about his love and his mercy and compassion and studying our Father and studying our Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, and then modeling our life after that, all the while saying, God, I depend on you to do this. Conform me to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So how can we live in light of the future inheritance? Because of what we will receive, we should live in holiness, as Peter says here, by not being conformed to the passions of our past and by modeling our lives after God himself. Next, how can we live in light of the future inheritance? And you can write this down: by conducting yourself in the fear of the Lord. Conducting yourself in the fear of the Lord. Look at verse 17. And Peter says, if. You can circle that word. It's a very important word. It's a conditional word. He says, if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, he says, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. He says, if, to these readers, he says, if he is your Father, if he is your Father, if you have truly placed your faith and trust in him alone, he says, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile. He says to them, he is your Father. He is your heavenly Father, but you should still fear him. And this is why you should fear him. And you can write this down: because you will give an account for your life on the earth. That's what Peter says. He says he judges impartially according to each one's deeds. You see, God is impartial, and he does not pick favorites. You should fear him, he says, because you will give an account for your life on the earth. And you can write this down. You should fear him because you have been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. Look at verses 18 through 21. He says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. He says to his believers, you should fear him because you will one day give an account for your life on the earth. You should stand in awe of him and fear him because you have been ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And I love how he says this to them. He says, you are not saved by silver and gold. Why do you give your lives to the things of this earth that did not ransom you, that did not save you? He says, you are not saved by silver and gold. Oh no, you were ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, fear him. Therefore, stand in awe of this Savior and what he has done for you. That's what Peter is saying here. There's many things that we fear on the planet, and many of them rightfully so. Maybe it's the dark. Maybe you fear clowns. Maybe it's snakes that you fear. Maybe it's spiders that you fear, or strangers. Maybe you fear going to the doctor and receiving a diagnosis that is unfavorable. Maybe you have the fear of flying. Maybe you have the fear of heights. Maybe you have the fear of losing a loved one. Rightfully so. That's not something that any of us want to face. Maybe you have a fear of the unknown. Maybe a fear for you is loss of control. You know the word fear that Peter uses here? It's a really strong word. It's a really powerful word. It's the Greek word phobos, and it literally translates, as he says, fear the Lord during your time of exile, as you were waiting on heaven, as you were waiting on the return of Christ. The word fear, it literally translates, be afraid. Exceedingly fear, dread, terror. And so often, whenever we think about the Lord, we don't often think about the fact that we should fear him. We often want to skip over that part, those parts in the Bible that call us to do that. We often want to skip over the parts in the Bible that where the Word of God tells us that our God is a God of justice, that our God is also a God of wrath. Yes, he is a God of mercy, and he's a God of grace, and he is a God of kindness, and he's a God of compassion, and he's a God of love. He is all of those things times a billion, times a million, times eternity, if that's even a number. I don't know if it is. He is all of those things and that much more. But at the same time, at the exact same time, he is still a God of justice who will have his justice. He is still a God of wrath. He is still a God that is to be feared. And this, when Peter calls on these readers, as they are living their lives in light of persecution and all that they were facing, he calls on them to fear the Lord as they are waiting on the return of Christ. And this applies to you and I today. As we are living our lives in the good times and also the bad, this applies to you and I, that we are called as well to fear the Lord. As Peter says, if you call on him as Father, and this applies to you and I today, if he is your God, if he is your Father, then you too should fear him. I too should fear him. If you call him Savior, you should fear him. Yes, he is your Father. Yes, he is good. Yes, he is loving. Yes, he is kind. But he is still a God that you should stand in awe of. One commentator says, the relationship we have with God is both tender and awesome. Another commentator says, Our knowledge of him as Father must not dispel our dread of him as judge. Peter says, you should fear him as you're living your life. It's this idea of standing in awe of him and who he is. And Peter says, why? Because you will give an account for your life on the earth. Again, this is a thought that we don't often like to think of, that we will one day give an account for our lives and how we lived our lives on the planet. So many people around us, in our culture, all across America these days, all across the world, they are living their lives like there is no judgment. They are living their lives today like they will not have to one day give an account for the way that they live their lives. And this should grieve you and I. This should grieve us. Because the Bible makes it so clear over and over in the scriptures that every person will one day have to give an account for their lives. Here's some of these scriptures that highlight this. And these are just a few. Hebrews 10, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Jesus says, Matthew 16, for the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Paul says in Romans 2, he will render to each one according to his works. Paul says in Romans 14, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Revelation 2, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches mind and heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. You see, we see over and over in the Word of God that every person on the planet will one day have to give an account for what they did with their time on this earth with the name of Jesus Christ. Did they live their lives focusing on themselves and their own pleasures and their own joys and their own happiness? Or did they surrender their lives completely and fully to Christ? Did they do this? Did they roll up their spiritual shirt sleeves and say, my mind is resolved to focus on Christ and Christ alone? That's what Peter's saying here. Was it for them? Was it for their own glory, for their own life, or was it for Christ? That's what Peter's saying here, essentially, in this text. At the end of the book, Revelation 20, this great picture of the great white throne of judgment, John says, and I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. And if I am going to preach the entire counsel of the Word of God, I have to talk about this. I cannot skip over what Peter's talking about here today. What he's saying here is this: roll up your spiritual shirt sleeves. Focus the remainder of your days on Christ, on his future rule, on his future reign. Live your life in light of the inheritance that is waiting on you, believer in Christ. Don't get distracted by the sins of the past. Focus on Christ alone. Fight against your sin. Be holy like Jesus Christ is holy, because one day you'll give an account for the time that you had on this earth. And lastly, we should live this way. This applies to you and I, because we have been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. Let that sink into you today. You have been ransomed by the precious blood of Christ. What does that mean? Another way to say ransomed is to say it like this: you have been rescued. I love how Peter says this. He says, you were not saved by silver or gold. Why was he telling them that? Again, it goes back to where their focus was. Don't focus on the things of this world. The things of this world cannot save you. The only way that you can have salvation is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were saved, you were rescued by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? It means that Christ has made a way for you and I to have all of our sin forgiven. That way, one day, whenever we do stand in this judgment that is coming, that the Bible speaks so clearly of, we don't stand in our own righteousness. We don't stand in our own power. We stand in the righteousness of Christ. Not because of what you have done, because of what Christ has done. He has ransomed us from the penalty of our sin. This is why we should live our lives for the glory of God, because we have been rescued from our sin. This is why we should roll up our spiritual short sleeves and say, you know what, I'm going to focus on Christ and no matter what, because we have been ransomed by the blood of Christ. Why did we need that? Well, the Bible tells us this, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It means that I have, it means that you have, we all have. One sin, one mistake is enough to separate us from God on high for all of eternity. And the only way that you and I can have that one sin and all of our sin forgiven is by placing our faith and our trust in the finished work of Christ. And then after we do that, we can't skip over this part because so many people have skipped over this part. Once we have placed our faith and our trust in Christ, and we have confessed that He is Lord, meaning that we have asked Him to be the boss and the guide of our life. What does that mean next? That means that we do what Peter is talking about here. We focus our minds on Christ and His purposes and His purposes alone. And you can do that today if you've never called on Christ to save you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And as Peter says to these readers, you've been ransomed with the blood of Christ. That exact same promise that he was talking about is available for you today. How do you receive it? It's a submission of your life to the lordship of Christ. And you can do that right from your seat this morning. Maybe the Spirit of Christ is drawing you. Come to this realization today that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. Believe in the finished work of Christ on the cross. What's that? That's the Easter story. Jesus Christ died a sinner's death on a cross. He lived a perfect life. And he was crucified for your sin and for my sin. And he was placed in a grave. And 3 days later, he was resurrected from the grave. You place your faith and your trust in his finished work and what he has done for the forgiveness of your sin. And then you commit your life to follow him from this point forward. You have this mental resolve that no matter what, you're going to live for Christ. You're going to fight against your sin. You're going to live in awe of him, knowing that one day you'll give account for your life on the earth. And you're going to do this because of the ransom that Christ has offered you through his blood. Would you call on him today to save you? The Bible says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you did that today, would you tell somebody, would you tell me? In just a few moments, we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a song of worship back to our God, thanking him for the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And we're just going to give him worship. And after this church service, we're going to have a group of people who are up here who would love to pray with you, who would love to pray over you. Would you tell one of them about your decision to follow Christ today? Maybe you're in this place today and you've never been scripturally baptized. Would you talk to me about that? That's the next step for a follower in Christ. If you've never been scripturally baptized, I urge you to do that, to consider that. That's the next step of obedience for you. God, we come before your throne today, thanking you for this word from Peter that calls us to set our hope fully on the grace of Christ and nothing else. Not the things of this earth, but fully on Christ. So God, help us to prepare our minds for action, having a mental resolve to serve Christ alone in all of our life's endeavors and all that we do, may it point to Christ. Help us to be sober-minded In other words, help us to be focused on Christ in whatever we're doing in our workplaces, in our homes, as we go to the grocery store, as we just do normal life. Help us to be focused on Christ and His glory. Help us to use, God, every aspect of our life to point others to You. God, help us to live in holiness, but not being conformed to the passions of our heart, of our past. Father, would You give us the strength to fight against sin, to take drastic measures against sin. Help us to model our lives after You. Would You conform in us as the people of God? Would You conform in us to be like Your Son, Jesus Christ? Oh God, would You help us to stand in awe of You and to live in fear of You? Not so much being afraid, God, but God, standing in awe of who You are and what You've done. God, You are our Father, as Peter talked about. God, help us to worship You and to live for You daily, because we have been ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So Father, when other people see us, they don't even see us or our church, but Father, they see You. They see Your love shining through us. They see the light of Christ shining through us, oh God. May we be people who are distinct. May we be people who are like no other people on the planet. May we stand out and shine for the glory of God as we await His return, or as we await to meet Him face to face in death. Oh God, remind us daily that it is worth it, that the inheritance that is promised to us is worth it as we live our lives in all that we do for the glory of Christ. God, we worship You right now. We worship You. In Your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, church family? We're just going to sing a song of worship back to our God. I encourage you just to give Him praise because of what He has done for you, because of what He has done for us. Let's sing.